Now, before we talk about the All-Ireland, there's the not-too-small matter of the Minor Football Championship. Kerry taking on Derry. That's the curtain raiser, I suppose you could call it, at 1:15 in Croke Park. What a great event for the younger players to be a part of. How do you see that one going, Martin?
Yeah, well, I suppose the first big thing, Greg, with the minors is this is the last year for it. It'll be an under-17 competition after this year. So, you know, it's always great to if you could win the last one. So I feel that, you know, Derry have a good chance, and people are making Kerry hot favourites. It's a very, very good Kerry minor team, very strong Kerry minor team. They've been talking about this lad Clifford for a long time, and even tell you people in Kerry will say they're hoping that he doesn't go to Australia, and they're already trying to work on that there to keep him from going to Australia. So if Derry can deal with him, he's big as well, which is a big, big help, as well as being a very good footballer. And if Derry can deal with that, you know, it depends on how people cope with playing our Iron Finals. Now, Kerry are going for, like Dublin seniors, for three in a row minor. So it's very hard to look past a Kerry minor victory. But in saying that, it's all on the day. And particularly at minor football, Greg, it's all down to how the young lads cope with it, cope with the whole occasion and everything else. And it is, as you said, it's a massive occasion to be playing in front of so many people. But then saying that, it's a great experience for them. But I think that probably in the end up Kerry will have too much for Derry. But hopefully Derry put up a very good performance, because Ulster football need that at the minute. Mm.
It'd be fair to say, would it, that Derry had the more difficult path to the final, do you think, having to like take, and I mean obviously minor level, that maybe some counties are stronger at minor level than they would be at senior level, or vice versa. But looking down through the list, it looks like Derry had the tougher run in.
Oh, definitely, without a doubt. And I mean, they got a big scare in Balbuffet when they played Sligo. They were lucky enough that the young Murphy lad from Sligo, I think, scored 12 points that day against them. And I suppose it was a good maybe wake-up call. Everybody was expecting them to win that match easy. So looking at it, so it's a big one. People were saying at the start of the year, it's looking like it's going to be a Dublin-Kerry All-Ireland Senior Final. It's going to be a Dublin-Kerry Under-21 Final. And we know Galway put a spanners in the work with that, with beating Kerry in the semi-final. And everybody thought it was going to be a Dublin-Kerry minor final as well out there. They were the two favourites for it. So it was a brilliant performance by Derry to beat Dublin. And that match will definitely stand for them in the All-Ireland semi-final, because not many people give them a chance against Dublin. We expected Dublin to win it. So yeah, that will definitely stand for them, and that will help. And they had, always the way it is, the Munster teams at all levels definitely have an easier path to an All-Ireland final from that point of view. But I just think that people in Kerry will tell you that this is probably the best minor team of the three that they had. So it's going to take a big, big effort from Derry to win it. But the one thing about Derry is, you know, that they do produce a lot of good college footballers, and they come through to minor. And I watched Derry in all the Ulster Championship games, and I'm very, very impressed. They are a very strong minor team. And I suppose, in fairness, the second best minor team in Ulster this year was Tyrone, and you know their game against Tyrone in the first round was one of the best games of football I've watched in a long time. And Derry just about got over the line.
Kerry, prolific scorers. I mean, their average return per game is something else. Is it about sort of maybe trying to limit the Kerry attack, as well as of course Derry focusing on their own game going forward?
Yeah, well, exactly. That's what you have to do. And the other thing about it is, you know, the one thing people say about when you've got a forward of the quality of Clifford, and, you know, they have other lads on the bench as well to come off that can make a difference. But particularly when you have a player of the quality of Clifford in there, you have to stop the supply to him. That's what you have to do. And that's what Derry have to try to do. So the important area will be that midfield area. If you can win that area, it's still the most important area in Gaelic football. So if Derry can win that midfield area, that can make a big difference to them. And they need to win that. And the other thing you need to do is get a good start. Particularly get a strong, very, very good start against them. I remember a very good Kerry minor team that beat Donegal in the semi-final back, I think it was 2006, around that time when Michael Murphy was playing for Donegal Minors. And it's a very strong Kerry team. They had David Moore and they had Tommy Walsh. I'm expecting them to hammer Roscommon in the final. But Roscommon stood with them, stayed with them, and ended up getting a draw and won in the replay. So sometimes with Kerry, particularly if you ask questions of them early on, particularly in the match, and get ahead, and then let them have to come at you, and that opens up the chances at the other end. So definitely it's a chance for Derry, there's no doubt about it. But that Kerry team now, I watched them in the semi-final, and they were exciting. They're a very, very exciting team to watch. Cavan, who probably, you know, Cavan's the one team that played both teams this year, and both teams hammered them, basically. Derry hammered them most of the final, and Kerry hammered them. So I suppose that's a good barometer to look at Cavan. So there wouldn't be that much between them when we look at it from that point of view, but I still think, you know, Kerry people, the one thing they don't do is blow or boast about Kerry, but they are talking about this minor team a good while, and they're saying it's the best. Wee bit of pressure going for three in a row, like probably like Dublin seniors, and that's what that. I still think I would love to see Derry win it from an Ulster point of view, but it's hard to look past the Derry victory, Greg.
Okay, Kerry victory, yeah. And it has the potential to be a cracking game, which all leads up then to the big one for many people. Of course, if you're not in Dublin, in Derry or Kerry, and that is the All-Ireland final. It's, of course, Dublin versus Mayo. Interesting to see that Dublin get to the final off the back of five games. Mayo have nine under their belt now. I'm not sure that will make much difference on the day. How do you see this game going, Martin?
Well, I suppose, you know, we looked at people talking 1992 when Donegal played Dublin in the All-Ireland final, that was 31 and a half counties were supporting Donegal. I think it's the exact same way now, that there's about 31 and a half, maybe even half of Dublin. All the country people in Dublin are definitely all supporting Mayo and hoping Mayo will win it. But look at when you analyse the whole thing, and I mean, we look at it, everybody's hoping Mayo produce a good performance. You know, the thing that everybody's looking at from a Mayo point of view, Greg, is the Kerry performance. Everybody's saying this is a great performance, but it was a very poor Kerry team. And then we look back at it, and Mayo struggled to put them away. They drew with them the first day. Now, I would say if Dublin had been playing that Kerry team, they would have been beat at half-time the first day. So this is one of the best teams we've seen playing Gaelic football, this Dublin team. You know, it was unfortunate that Mayo were meeting them, and that Mayo team have come along at this stage to meet them and everything else. They got their lesson in 2014 against Donegal, and you know, the way they prepare and everything, you know, the way the preparation they've been put in, I mean, they really are professionals in every word, amateurs, but really professionals in every way they take them, you know. And you know, you look at them, I was even going through it one day, there was a fellow in Dublin about, you know, what the occupation of a lot of them, what they're going on to be. And they're all going on to be either doctors or physios, or, you know, they're all well-educated fellas and very level-headed and everything else. And, they, you know, they're really, it's just hard to see anything only a Dublin victory. You'd like to think some way that you could see it some other way, but I can't see it. And I just heard today that Jeremy O'Connor is supposed to be out for Mayo. He pulled his hamstring. So probably Paddy Durkin will have to start. So that takes another player away, Greg, off the bench, that they would have to come in, because we know what Dublin have to come in off the bench. So Derry were poor, Mayo were poor all year, really. They had bad, you know, disappointing performance. I know they were getting over the line extra time and everything else. And, you know, the first day against Roscommon, they struggled. The second day, very good against Roscommon, the second day. And then the Kerry draw on game of them. But, I mean, they're going to need a lot more than that. They're going to need massive performance. They're going to need every single player to play the game of their lives.
Yeah, and we must remember that Dublin's outscored their opposition on average by 2 goals and 9 points. I mean, that's a big hurdle to overcome. How important, you talk about the start in the minor game, how important is the start in this game? I think as I say, I'm just an armchair fan, but I would fear that you could almost switch over if, you know, Dublin rack up maybe a 4 or 5 point lead early on, because they seem to be able to sustain that. And if the opposition come back, they have the gears to restore that cushion.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And, you know, the strength of them all over the field, you know, I mean, we look at it from Cluxton, the best goalkeeper we've ever seen playing Gaelic football. We look at their defences unit, all big men, very good markers and everything else. And then those midfields that we place, you say, sometimes that they're wee bit weaker in the middle of the field. But with James McCarthy going in there now with Brian Fenton, giving them that mobility in that area, and you're right, I mean, Mayo's going to need a good start. They're going to have to get a good start against them. The one thing they're able to do is they're the one team in Ireland that are able to physically match Dublin. And that's a big, big plus for them. But, you know, they're going to have to get, as I said, everything exactly right. This Dublin team machine, they've got players coming off the bench. And the way they prepare, I just heard, I was talking to a fella in a hotel there recently, and he got a phone call from the Dublin management saying they wanted to have a meeting on a Saturday out there. I think it was about 3 weeks before the Tyrone game, or 2 weeks before the Tyrone game. And they landed out there at 9 o'clock in the morning and didn't leave that room to 7 o'clock in the evening. That was the management team, 18 along with Jim Gavin. So that's the preparation they put in, you know. I mean, I always heard Jim McGuinness saying with Celtic that if they're training at 10 o'clock, the management team come in about 6 or 7 in the morning. So that's the way they're preparing. Everything they're doing is like professionally. They've got players to come off the bench, which keeps the pressure on. And I was talking one time to Declan Darcy, who's a Dublin selector, and he said the biggest problem they have in Dublin at the minute is when they play the A against B games in training. Everybody trying to get their place in the team, they're worried that somebody will pick up an injury and that. So that's the intensity. That's where they're at. That's the level they're at. Look at the All-Ireland final. There is a bit of pressure on them, Greg, in the sense of they're going for three in a row. They're under that pressure to deliver. We'd all love to see Mayo deliver it. But, you know, you fear for, we'll say, the likes of Andy Moore and Johnny Cooper has never really given them much in the All-Ireland finals or the matches they have played. They're going to need massive performance in the end of from everybody. If they get that, you know, it'll be great. And everybody in the country, there'll be some party in Mayo if that happens.
It wouldn't just be Mayo. How important do you think the role of the referee in this game is? Because you talked about the sort of physicality potentially of this game. I think most people watching it would want to see it flow. You could have a ref that maybe wants to stamp his authority on the game early. Do you think that's an important factor in this game?
Yeah, it is. But I think they're right to have gone for Joe McCullen because he's a very, very experienced referee. And he's got that experience behind him. And the one thing about him is he's fair. You look at, like everybody else in the field, he'll make mistakes. But the thing about it, he's very fair. He'd be fair to both teams. It's important, I think, that, yeah, to let it flow, Greg. But I think early on, he's got to blow the freeze and blow them early. Stamp his authority on it. And then when he's control of it completely, then let her go then. And, you know, he's totally in control of it up with the play. I mean, yeah, definitely nowadays, you know. And the big issue, and has been a big issue, particularly for Mayo, if Dublin get a black charge, Greg, it doesn't matter. Mm. The player coming off the bench is good. But Mayo can't afford to pick up black cards. So it's important from the point of view of the referee. You know, them big decisions. We saw referee last year admitting he made a mistake by not giving a Dublin player the black card in the All-Ireland final he came out afterwards. It's important that they get the referee, Joe McCullen, gets the big calls right. They're the important ones. A penalties or, as we said, a black card or a sending off. That they get them calls exactly right. Yeah. They're the calls that make the difference. And the one thing I've always said, even when I played in the All-Ireland final myself, or where Donegal played in the All-Ireland finals, and the All-Ireland finals, you don't want a player to make a big mistake, or you don't want the referee to make a mistake, because you're always remembered for that. I remember in 2012, I was beside my old great Anthony Finnerty doing the sidling with RTE, and he was just asked about that, and he said he scored a goal in the All-Ireland final against Cork, but he missed a goal as well that could have won the game, and he said he's always remembered
for that.
It's always thrown up to him in bars and everything else, you know. So hopefully nobody makes a big mistake that'll be remembered.
Fingers crossed.
It's an amateur sport in the end.
Martin, a lot of people want to know who you think should get the Donegal manager's job. I don't know if you're on the record saying it, or if you want to say who you think should get it, or.
All I'm saying about that was, that's a tough job. Fair play to the man that gets it, whoever gets it, Greg. Look, it's a tough job. There's a tough few years ahead for Donegal football, in the sense it's all rebuilding. Mm. The quality players that we have lost has been colossal, and you just don't replace them. Maybe in Dublin or Kerry, you might replace them. It's very tough on Donegal. So look, it's a tough job, and look at everybody. Whoever gets the job, I wish them well. And whoever... You know, and I want, you know, people to get behind it. Let's forget about the good times are kind of over. We've had it. We come every so often and it's great. Let's just get behind the players. And the
manage our expectations as well, I think.
Exactly. That's all right. Exactly it.
Martin, thank you very much as always. Enjoy the weekend. Martin McHugh there, GEA pundit. Angela Nugent's the sports editor at Midwest Radio. Hi, Angela.
Angelina, Greg.
Angelina,
I
beg your pardon. I should know that.
No problem.
We worked in the same company.
We did, but that's okay. You've forgotten me. You've gone on to bigger and better things, obviously.
Not at all, Angelina. Listen, what is the mood down there? Are the Mayo fans letting the reins off and being excited, or is it sort of managing the expectations, like I said to Martin there? What's the atmosphere like in the county?
I think you've nailed it there with managing the expectations. I was just saying to Ciara off air there that this year above any year, and we've obviously had quite a number of All-Irelands and worked on them here and watched everything from the craziness to the subdued, you know, and the disappointment. This year there is there's a great faith in this team, first of all. Supporters would have great confidence in their ability. You know, previous matchups with Dublin have been very close, so there would be that air of quiet confidence. But there's also an air of a little bit of, I suppose, fear of what could happen if we don't manage to fall over the line. And because supporters have been here so many times before, they know that they're kind of they know what the feeling is to lose, obviously, and they're a little bit fearful of even, I think, talking about the game until it gets closer to it. We've been on a couple of outside broadcasts, nothing compared to other years this week in the build-up to it. And really, there's kind of that air of, yeah, it's great, we're looking forward to it, but now we'll wait until Sunday to lose the heads if we can win it. And that really is the overwhelming feeling within the county.
What is your feeling about the game, Angelina?
I just heard a bit of Martin there, and that's a man for the Donegal manager's job. I'll start the speculation anyway, first of all. But he's such a great man to call a game of football, and he was a guest with us a few years ago in 2013, actually, and called it exactly right on a show we had before All-Ireland, where he said Dublin would win it by about 2 or 3 points, and he wasn't too far wrong on that occasion. Look, the first thing I'll say is this Dublin team are awesome. They deserve all the plaudits they're getting. They're an incredible team. And they will be extremely tough to beat in Sunday's final. I do think Mayo are the second best team in the country, or have been up to this. And I do think that Sunday will be a big game for a lot of these guys who might feel they have to get back. Martin spoke there about, you know, a player making a mistake, or, you know, a referee getting a big call wrong. You know, the black card for Lee Keegan last year in the replay, whether people feel it was a black card or not, and not maybe able to get into that controversy, he will feel, you know, he was having a great game up to that. He had scored the goal in, early in the game, and got black carded not long after. He'll feel he's a point to prove in an All-Ireland final on Sunday. I think there'll be guys that will feel maybe we didn't step up to the plate enough in previous All-Ireland finals against Donegal, against Dublin, Dublin again last year, and they will have a point to prove. So I do think that if this game is in the melting pot, which I feel it might be with, you know, 5-10 minutes to go, and it's very close, and it'll have to be close because, you know, it'll be hard to rein Dublin back in at that stage if they have a lead. I do think that despite all the talk of the strong Dublin bench, etc., that there just might be a little bit of hunger or drive. Not to say that Dublin don't have it, but that fear of losing again, no more than the Galway hurlers and David Burke's looking at his colleagues when they went to point down and saying, lads, this can't happen again. I do think there'll be a bit of a sense of that within the Mayo ranks, and that, golly, we can't let another one slip away from us again if it's in the melting pot.
So it'd be good enough for the fans. Sorry, Angeline. It'd be good enough for the fans that they feel that the players leave everything out there, go for it. You know, even if, God forbid, the margin of the defeat were wide, that, you know, everything's thrown at this Dublin team.
100%, and I think they have to do that, Greg. I mean, they're not a team, look, Tyrone learned that the hard way, that you can stand off and look at. Mayo won't do that. They've never done that with Dublin. They don't give them or afford them maybe that sort of effect. They'll get in their faces and they'll pressurise them from early on. I think if Mayo get a good start, steady themselves early on with, you know, 10, 15 minutes gone in the game, establish themselves, they'll have to get goals. They have been getting them this year. That's the big difference. They'll have to get goals against Dublin if they're to have any chance. And they really, really want to be watching Dubliners, and the Dublin bench will be a big threat. It's very cliched now. Everyone knows the strength of what's coming off the bench for Dublin.
Yeah.
But I do think, for will it be good enough for supporters? They'll be very disappointed. But every year, Greg, I mean, no matter what the disappointment, the Mayo attendances have gone up. There's a great stat from this year. In the nine games Mayo, in the nine games Mayo have been involved in up until Sunday. And now this is including the opposition supporters, but we know with Kerry that was a very small minority. Maybe with Roscommon the second day, not as big as the first day. There are 300,000 supporters have travelled to those games. Now, a large portion of that will be Mayo. They're fanatical. So they'll be hurt and they'd lick their wounds for a few weeks. And I guarantee you, they'd be back out. And someone said to me yesterday, 15 weeks to the start of the FBD League in January. So they'll be back out again for that.
The whole of Midwest Radio has decamped to Dublin now at this stage, have they?
Well, not just yet. I still have a couple of news to do, Greg. So yeah, Saturday afternoon, we'll decamp to Dublin and we'll make the journey again. We know the road so well now. We'll be doing that very easily and getting up there. But look, it just would mean so much to people. There's a lot of people, a whole generation of people who, you know, would love to see this happen. Perhaps, you know, the more elderly, you know, among the population. And it would be very special for a lot of people.